All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
What's up? How you living, David?
Oh, man. All right. Well, some people would say they're living the dream.
Nah, we don't do that anymore.
No, not anymore. Me? I'm living the fantasy.
You know what I did this week? I experimented with that. I really did. And I have to admit, it gave me a whole much better perspective. Like, it felt better. People said, hey, Penn, how you doing? And it's been my thing for like the last 9 months or 12 months or whatever. I've been like, oh, living the dream. Because I used to say it like years ago. I said it and I kind of meant it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, man, life is good. I got a beautiful family that I love. I got a job that I love. Like, I'm living the dream. Like, and so people would say that to me and I'd be like, oh, man, I'm living the dream. And I kind of said it to be funny, but I also kind of meant it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then so for the last 12 months, I've said it, but like real sarcastic. like we talked about last week, like I meant the opposite.
You know what I mean?
So, but what I found, because somebody pointed it out to us. And so we talked about it last week. And so what I did this week, everywhere I went, people said, hey, Penn, how you doing? And you know what I said? I said, I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. Thanks. I'm doing fine. I'm having a nice day. You know, and it put me in a better space because you get that sarcasm, get that negativity out of your life, man. Turn over a new leaf, David.
Did you try? Did you try the? No, how you doing?
I did. I did do that once. I did that pretty early on. I forget what it was, but I definitely did that, and that was pretty good too.
Nice.
Because you know, Amy says that I don't ask enough questions.
What?
Like for example, I forget what there was like a good obvious example. Like Drew was getting ready to have a baby, and I came home and I told Amy Lexi's pregnant, and then that's all the information I had. Amy couldn't believe that I didn't ask more follow up questions, and I guess apparently I do that. And Amy says because I don't ask people enough questions about them. You know, so I try to ask people and you know, how are you doing? How's your day going? So, yeah. So I try that. I like that.
It's a new thing.
It's a new thing. I'm trying to, you know, Amy said, and the way she says it makes me sound like such a jerk because I'm not this way. I'm not the way it sounds, but the way it sounds is she goes, you have to express an interest in people. Like I do care. I'm very interested in your life. I'm very interested in what's going on, but I just don't think to like articulate the question. Because part of the deal is I'm such an open person. Like my life is an open book. And so I sort of feel like if somebody wants to tell me follow-up information to the headline, they will.
Yeah, right.
You know, it doesn't have to be on me to like be an investigative reporter and, you know, dig into it. Whatever.
I'm the opposite though, because somebody would be like, man, things are really tough, and I'm like, well, how do you think that's dealing with yourself? You know, like, tell me more.
So you're saying you ask too many questions.
I ask too many questions.
Yeah. No, I don't believe that. I think you ask just the right amount of questions.
Perfection in person. Yeah. So there was some big news this week.
There was a lot of big news.
Yeah. Yeah. Last week we came with some big news.
Right.
Right. Earth-shattering news. Sean graduated.
Wow.
College.
Way to go, Sean.
The shadow. But this week, not to be undone.
Right.
We're talking like news to end all news. Marley graduated college.
Big news out of Delaware. Yeah. Marley Bear, Marley Madison, walked the walk, talked the talk, and graduated from the University of Delaware. And I was especially psyched because you know, it's really great. Anybody could graduate from college,
yeah.
right? But it takes a special person to graduate outdoors in the rain at night.
Ooh, wow.
So it's like 40 degrees out. It's raining the whole time. Me and Amy and Kayla are sitting in the stadium. Poor little Marley is out there in her cap and gown, also sitting in the stadium. Everybody's getting rained on. But, you know, they say it's good luck. You know, it spritzed a little on my wedding day. I think it was gray in the morning or something like that. And I've always heard that rain on a special occasion is good luck.
Now, did it rain on Marley's birth?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't remember. I don't think
out.
So. We'll get back to you on
yeah.
that one.
Yes, yeah, she's just the rainy day girl.
But Marley has a great expression. It may be raining, but it's not going to rain on my parade.
I wish there was a parade during her.
She has a great positive outlook, and we were so happy for her and so proud. And, you know, President Joe Biden is a graduate from the University of Delaware.
Hey, there you go.
And he sent a little video message, you know, to the graduates and to Marley. You know, dear University of Delaware graduates and Marley Ketchum, congratulations on your accomplishment.
That's so crazy. Yeah.
No, but seriously, it was really exciting. We were very proud of her and really, really excited to be down there celebrating her and her friends and all the kids. I love watching these kids. I love being on campus. You know what I do? I just turn my hat around backwards and then I fit right in. People are like, hey, there's another college kid.
Is
hey,
that
Marley.
Cool kid?
Yeah. Marley, who is that cool kid you're hanging out with? I love how he dyed his hair.
Great. You see how his hat's on backwards? That's cool.
At first I thought he was some old man, but then I saw his hat was on backwards, so I knew he was one of us.
He had to be part of the crew.
David, there was other movie news this weekend as well. I don't know if you read the headline this morning. This was an actual headline in the New York Times.
Okay.
The movie business may not be dead after all.
Oh, wow.
The New York Times actually said the movie business may survive the pandemic after all.
Wow.
Like, you know, and you know how much that triggers me, that frustrates me, because, like, I mean, we've talked about this a million times. Every time something exciting happens at home or some movie that's supposed to do $600 million only does $400 million, everybody pronounces the movie business dead. And every time there's a new innovation at home, everybody pronounces the theater dead. And yeah, we had a really horrible year in the pandemic because of the pandemic. But nobody ever doubted. I mean, we kept this podcast going and we never once doubted the future of cinema.
Right.
And so it just irritates me, but I guess I was happy that these idiots were able to at least sort of admit that they were wrong.
It was a big weekend, right? Like,
yeah, it was massive. Quiet Place 2 opened to almost $60 million, and Cruella did really well. And in general, all the supporting movies also did really well. So the one movie that was not able to get triple figures.
The only one
that did not hit triple digits in my complex was It's a Cop Thing. So we'll talk about that a little later in the news segment.
Okay. All right. So listen, I know you like to talk about movies, but I like to talk about Dune. So let's intertwine the two and talk about Dune news.
Please.
Yeah. The movie's premiering at the Venice Film Festival in September. That's what, 2 months earlier than everywhere else?
Yeah. What do you think about that?
That's pretty cool. That's super cool, because if it has the reviews that I'm hoping it gets out of the film festival, that's like 2 months of like pure buzz.
Of hype, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you wish the Venice Film Festival was in October?
Why do you say that? Just so, like, it's closer?
Yeah, so that, like, you build, like, let me put it this way. I'm going to be irritated if Warner Brothers, like when this thing hits Venice Film Festival, I want tickets on sale.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Because I want people to read about how amazing it was at the Venice Film Festival and be like, yo, when does that open? Let's see if it's playing and lit. It's da-ba-da-ba-ba-bing, and buy my tickets.
I think the Venice Film Festival has a slow turnaround, though. I'll be honest. Because you and I, like, we're hip to, I mean, well, one, we're just hip.
Just
hip. But, I mean, you turned your hat backwards, so, I mean, that says it all. Hey, what's up, boy? So, he's dancing now. Oh, my gosh. So, like, we're more hip to, like, the news that's going on. So, when someone talks about, Venice Film Festival stuff.
Right.
We're prone to hear it. But the average person, like, the people are going to see the stuff at the film festival, and they're going to write about it. And then, like, another month later, USA Today picks up on it. You know what I mean? It's a slow burn to the general public. So I think it'll work out.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
So, all right. You love The Joker, right?
Yeah. Wasn't The Joker, you're talking about the most recent one that Todd Phillips did?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the one where they like made a really big deal about how this is a standalone, one-time sort of freestanding piece of cinema?
Yeah. And that, it was barely connected to the Batman universe.
Right. You said you have a headline about this? A story?
Yeah, the Wayne family got killed at the end of big deal. So since it's just one movie, of course Todd Phillips has struck a deal to co-write the next movie.
since it's just $1 billion movie.
Yeah. We'll never make more.
Right. We hate making money.
Yeah, money is, that's not what I got into this business for. That's what he
Money's
said.
The worst.
But I guess since I'm here.
What's a boy to do?
So I guess they're penning the next Joker installment.
I think it's going to be super fun to make fun of Todd Phillips because he was so stupid about how this is a standalone thing. But I'm going to get past that pretty quickly because I'm psyched for another Todd Phillips Joker movie.
You know, we're going to talk about the surprise of a sequel later on, but I just don't understand how the Joker movie needs, like, how they could do another movie and have it as heavy and crazy as the first one.
Yeah.
Like, because at the end of the first one, he's kind of in wacky territory.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's what Todd Phillips gets the big bucks for.
Right. Right.
There you go. He'll figure it out, and it'll be awesome.
So,
all right.
Go ahead.
Speaking of Portal,
yeah,
J.J. Abrams says that they are working on a script for a Portal movie. What you want to walk me through this?
Okay, Portal is one of the most groundbreaking games of all time. Well, that's saying a lot, but it at its time it was extremely groundbreaking for what it
more
was.
Groundbreaking than Pac-Man.
I'm gonna say Pac-Man broke the bottom, but Portal burst through. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Portal is pretty amazing with a great story about an evil robot, doing tests and stuff. And it's great. It would make a great movie if it can be done right. But the fact that they're working on it is pretty exciting. So,
especially that it's J.J. Abrams working on it.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how they'd move forward. I mean,
he's no regular guy.
They made two of these games and they were amazing. Mm. So,
did he do a Star Wars?
J.J. Abrams?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which one was it?
Well, he did the ones... Well, what were they called? The first one was called... This Might Be Good. The second one was called... Well, the second one he produced was called... Gotcha! It's not.
The second one was called Psych.
Yeah, and the third one was called Well, You're Already Here.
Might as well write another one.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was involved in some way.
Do you think JJ was blindsided by the idea of working on a Portal movie?
Do I think he was blindsided by it? No. But I think Mark Wahlberg... And Anton Fuqua. I think they were blindsided by the news that Infinite is going straight to Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
It's not going to the theaters. What do you think this says about this movie?
I don't think it says anything about this movie. I watched the trailer, which we're going to talk about, and it looked like a big budget blockbuster movie. Right?
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I think it says. I don't think it says anything about this movie. I think it shows how poorly Paramount Plus is doing. Like, they're taking one of their only legitimate theatrical good releases and streaming it in the last-ditch effort of getting somebody somewhere to subscribe to Paramount Plus.
Right. Exactly.
And then if you had that opinion, which I did, and then you found out that Marky Mark and Anton Fuqua were blindsided by the news, then that further tells you that, you know, this was a decision made by studio executives trying to save a streaming platform before it gets bought by, I don't know who's going to buy Paramount, but somebody will.
Yeah, it's not, they're not even doing a day and date. They're just like fully going Paramount Plus.
Right, right.
Which totally surprised me from the trailer. I was like, really?
So what I have to do as a film buyer is I have to compartmentalize things. So, for example, my instinct was to be really mad at Paramount, but they're currently playing Quiet Place 2, which is doing gangbusters, as we spoke a few minutes ago. And so, like, I guess I should just be grateful that Quiet Place 2 isn't streaming at home.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And probably the only reason why it's not is because it opened with tickets on sale last March.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so so it technically it already started a theatrical release, even though nobody saw it.
Right, right. Well, speaking of A Quiet Place 2, I didn't know how they could make a sequel to the first one. We'll talk about that. But they did.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the second one, I'm almost like, how could they make a sequel to the second one? But apparently, John Krasinski's already has notes written down to make a third one if he's given the green light.
That doesn't surprise me for a second.
Yeah, not really.
And I know how they can do it. The first one was, you know, the initial encounter with the monsters, and the second one was, you know, how to fight back against the monsters. Uh-huh. They found this island full of people and used the radio frequency, and the third one is going to be, let's take the fight to them.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you know, how do you eradicate these monsters, you know, from Long Island?
Yeah. We'll get more into it during our review. But so not a big surprise there. Now, Aaron Taylor Johnson, do you remember him?
Anya Taylor-Joy?
No. The role reversal male version of her, Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Totally different person?
Yeah. He was in Kick-Ass. he played the mean character, Kick-Ass.
Did you like Kick-Ass?
I liked the first one. The second one was kind of whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
He also played Quicksilver in the Marvel movies. Not the X-Men movies, but the Marvel one. He got killed in Age of Ultron.
Okay.
Anyway, he's been cast as Kraven the Hunter for Sony's shit Spider-Man universe.
Sony's what?
That's the proper term. The shit Spider-Man universe.
Is that their official? That's what they've gone with, like Marvel universe, Marvel Cinematic Universe, and DC universe,
yeah,
and Sony shit Spider-Man universe.
Yeah, yeah. It's the SSU shit Spider-Man universe.
Okay. Good. Yeah. I thought I saw that on a poster case.
Yeah. So this will go in with like the Venoms and the Morbius and those types of things. He's a Spider-Man villain and a cool one.
All right.
This casting is fine. I mean, whatever. It's whatever.
If the movie was going to be good.
Yeah, if the movie was going to be good. But I think we all know, probably not going to be.
I think the movie's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
You think all the movies are going to be amazing? Specifically one that you thought you'd book this weekend called It's a Cop Thing.
Right.
Tell me more about what's going on with It's a Cop Thing at the theater.
Well, I'll tell you, David, I'm glad you asked. I don't even know where to begin. Like, there's so much I have to say about this. So the movie is called It's a Cop Thing. And I have no idea how I agreed to play this thing, but I did. And then after I booked it and put tickets on sale, I started to become made aware of just how awful this movie is. But I want to say, I will say this, and this is why we're using a couple minutes of the Penn Cinema podcast to talk about this movie. I have to say this. We were talking about this movie, and Drew and Bob pulled up the trailer on Drew's computer so that they could get a sense of what we were talking about. Okay, all fun and games. They both laughed out loud 3 or 4 times during the trailer.
What?
Like, I'm not saying this is like a high quality like comedy, but there were some funny beats. There was like a couple funny, you know, things that made them chuckle. And so anyway, so I booked this movie and literally nobody came to see it. one person came Friday night. I think the story I got from the manager was this couple comes in Friday night, buys tickets to It's a Cop Thing. 7 minutes later, they walk out wanting their money back. They're like, we didn't know this was a homemade piece of shit movie. We thought this was like a real feature film. So I don't mean to be jerky about it, but it's definitely like a homemade movie. But I think what I appreciate about this film is that they definitely make fun of themselves, like even in the trailer. Like the voiceover part is like, and then they have to fight against hundreds of movie extras. I mean, bad guys, right? And so, like, there's a lot of like self-deprecating humor, and I think it's like actually pretty funny. But what's going on at the theater is, so Saturday night, a few people came to see it. I don't think anybody came Sunday night, but the kids who work at the theater have all been watching it and are now quoting it. It's rapidly becoming a staff favorite. So I'm considering, we're doing this podcast right now in the middle of Monday, Memorial Day. So tomorrow morning when all the studios are back open again, I'm going to have to make some decisions about what movies I keep and what movies I get rid of. And I think I'm going to keep It's a Cop Thing.
Wow.
It failed to gross triple digits. So for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it grossed $54. Now, just to give you some sense of what our weekend was like, A Quiet Place 2 grossed $27,000.
Comparable.
Comparable.
It's still,
they're both on the scoreboard.
It's still a decimal point, you know?
Right, they're on the board.
Yeah.
They're on the board. So anyway, It's a Cop Thing is playing, and it might still be playing next weekend. We'll see.
I have plans to see it pretty much right after we're done recording.
I can't wait to hear what you think.
Yep. It's when I showed the trailer to the person I'm seeing with it, the response for a good 5 minutes was, what? David, what was that? What? Why? What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. We have five good trailers. I think all of them are good trailers.
Yeah.
Like solid, legit. I would have trouble picking my trailer of the week.
I know what my trailer of the week is, but my number two is an extremely close number two.
Yeah. All right. Walk us through it.
Okay. So number one, we have Old Trailer 2. This is M. Night Shyamalan's new movie.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a family goes to the beach. They're not supposed to bring kids, but they do. And then everyone gets trapped on the beach and is aging like insanely fast. So what's going on there?
And this is in theaters only.
Yeah.
On July 23rd. We talked about the first trailer came out a number of weeks back, and we talked about it. This trailer goes a little more in depth. It shows that it's a little bit, would you even say like a little bit of a more of a horror?
Yeah, it's got more of a horror aspect
to it. It definitely looks scarier. But you got to remember, this guy, M. Night, you know, he's made some scary freaking movies.
Yeah.
You know, so he's, I feel like he's going back to his roots a little bit, and I feel like this movie is going to be a big one.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens here. So I'm looking forward to seeing this movie.
I also feel like I don't know what M. Night's position is as it relates to children, like if he has his own children or not. I don't really know. But you ever hang around with someone like me who has like kids, like for example, and a kid graduates from college and you're like, oh, they just grow up so fast. You know, like it seems like just a minute ago she was 6 years old, you know, and whatever. And I feel like this is like, I feel like the seedling, the genesis of this storyline is like a bunch of parents sitting around talking about how I feel like they were just a kid a minute ago, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I don't know if he's drawing from that and then just blowing it up into an amazing story or not. But that's what I thought of when I was watching this trailer.
Yeah. Well, it's good. Definitely check the trailer out if you haven't seen it. Second trailer we have here is my runner-up for this week.
Huh.
It's Werewolves Within.
Old was my runner-up.
Okay. All right, understandable. Yeah. Werewolves Within. It's a comedy. It stars the girl from the AT&T commercials. who is actually a really funny actress. I knew her before. Like, I knew her stuff before she got that gig, and it was pretty funny. Cannot remember her name, though. I can never remember her name. But anyway, this is a movie where a new cop comes to town and some area and discovers that there's must be a werewolf or something, and then everyone that you know, all the survivors are like, what if we're all werewolves, you know?
I have to take it back. This was my runner-up and maybe my trailer of the week.
Oh, yeah?
This was – I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. This was really close to being my trailer of the week. I blanked a little bit on how much I – until you reminded me of the sheriff, who is Richard Splett from Veep.
Ah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he is amazing, and this trailer looks amazing. This movie, I can't wait.
Yeah, I love what – at the end of the trailer – when the creepy guy's coming at him, he's like, ugh. And they're like, no, they can't get the door open. And then he reaches past him and just unlocks it. Right. And they act like, oh, they were just overreacting.
Yeah, no, that's all.
Yeah, yeah.
So the movie is called Werewolves Within. It's totally worth checking out the trailer. And I'm looking forward to this movie.
Yeah. What's the next one we have here, Ben?
Last Night in Soho, starring Anya Taylor-Joy. This was my trailer of the week.
Same here.
Yeah, this movie looks amazing. It starts out kind of like a fun, almost like the trailer leads you into think it's like sort of a fun, almost like a teeny bopper, Freaky Friday type of thing,
yeah.
Except across a longer temporal plane. And then it kind of quickly gets freaky and ugly and scary down the line. And I think this movie is going to be a wild ride.
Yeah, it's an Edgar Wright film. So if you're an Edgar Wright fan, definitely want to check out this trailer. Girl, when she falls asleep, she wakes up in the past in New York as a beautiful Anya Taylor-Joy. But then maybe she has to relive Anya Taylor-Joy dying all the time, apparently.
But can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And don't tell anybody I asked you this.
Okay. This is between you and me and no one else.
Right. You're going to edit this out, right? Right.
Clearly, right. I'll never leave this in.
Right. This is not going to be in the podcast, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Just between us girls. The actress that wakes up is Anya Taylor-Joy.
Uh-huh.
Are they both Anya Taylor-Joy?
I don't think so. She looks extremely familiar, but...
She looks really different, but I couldn't tell if it was just the effective hair and makeup that like made the difference and made them look so dramatically different, or if it's the same actress or two different people. I think it's two different people. I see that you're looking it up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go on record. I think it's two different people, but I was kind of wondering, like, maybe it was the same person.
I am pretty sure it's different. It's Thomasian McKenzie is the girl's name.
Okay.
Yeah. She was in Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
That's
she's
where she's
great.
From.
Anya Taylor-Joy is really putting together a nice couple years of good movies here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The next movie is a Netflix movie that has an international theatrical release, but I'm not sure if it's going to have an American release or not. It's called Gunpowder Milkshake. Also a great trailer. I thought this was really well done. It reminded me of a movie, but I still can't quite put my finger on what movie it was that it reminded me of.
John Wick.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a John Wick like type.
Yeah.
But it's a great trailer. Like, it doesn't look like an exact copy of John Wick, but the fact that they're like, oh, there's a mysterious, you know, they've got like a whole society of killers. It's kind of, you know, hidden under the, you know, the library type thing.
Right.
But I thought this is a great trailer. It stars Karen Gillan, who's one of my super crushes. So, you know, I'm on board. So can't argue with that. And what's her face from to the Terminator show and Game of Thrones? I can't remember.
May Zosie?
No. Yeah. May Zosie. Yeah. Yeah.
May
yeah.
Zosie's in there.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. So definitely check the trailer out. It looks fun. It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Gunpowder Milkshake. I will definitely watch this on Netflix.
Yeah. Infinite. That's our last trailer of the week. We talked about it earlier, going straight to Paramount Plus. I think we're both surprised by this one going straight to Paramount Plus. I thought it looked like a blockbuster type deal, but I don't know. Like, I was surprised when I heard that.
Penn, David, Mark Wahlberg, and Antoine Fuqua. All of us, all four of us, the top four people, the main four people, were all caught off guard by this.
Some articles might even say blindsided.
Blindsided, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the movie is called Infinite. I don't think it looks especially amazing. This trailer was fine. It looks like a fun action movie. Probably would be better in a movie theater, but the six people who subscribe to Paramount Plus will probably enjoy the movie.
Yeah, and it's only six people right now because there's no new Star Trek shows, so you know, unsubscribed
right.
during those months. Yeah. So, all right, well, this week we're talking A Quiet Place 2. So let's just say, first off, spoilers for this whole conversation. What did you think of A Quiet Place 2?
I loved it.
Yeah?
I did, and I have some constructive things to say about it. I watch it with Marley Bear. But one of my problems with the movie is how frequently characters are greeted by somebody going like this.
Hands over the mouth?
They slap their hands on the mouth, and the person who got slapped, their eyes open real wide, and the person doing the slapping, you know, puts their finger over the mouth, tells them shh. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, like, how frequently does that, whatever. I found it distracting.
Well, in that universe, you'd imagine it happens pretty often.
Right, but once you put your hand over somebody's mouth, do you need to tell them to be quiet?
I don't know. Maybe it's a reassurance thing?
Anyway, I regret saying anything because I really enjoyed this movie. I thought the movie was really great.
This movie is really, really good. I mean, it's so stressful to watch.
Oh my God. I told Marley, I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Because they have the stressful scene and then they're like, okay, but guess what else is happening? This right. other stressful thing.
Right.
Like, this is crazy. These two stressful things are happening at the same time. This is hard to handle. But guess what, guys? There's a third stressful thing happening at the exact same time. And you know, they're all going to go to crap right before you can tell.
Yeah, I thought the climax of the movie when those three things were all unfolding at the same time and the parallels, the way Krasinski had them, like they were all dealing with fire at the same time, then they were dealing with water at the same time, they were suffocating at the same time. Like it just, I thought it was absolutely brilliant how parallels, I feel like, isn't quite capturing, but like how each of those challenges were all unfolding with similar, like challenges, obstacles, yeah. crises. I thought it was so good.
Yeah. One of the things that really makes this movie, and I think it made the first one too, is the sound engineering is superb.
Oh my God. Crazy
how they play with the quiet moments and then and even just normal things, how they like turn up the volume so you kind of get how loud everything is because everything's so quiet.
Right. And what I noticed on that topic was the movie can be so quiet, like ridiculously quiet, and then they switched it over to the deaf girl and it's literally quiet.
It's more quiet. Yeah.
And it's silent, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, because it's not like, you know, Christopher Nolan is one for switching from like bombs blowing up and explosions and gunfire and loud noise. And then he'll all of a sudden cut to like a quiet, you know, startling silence or startling quietness. But this was even more than that because it went from a quiet to silence. And because it was so quiet before, when they went to silence, it's like, it reminded me of like when you turn off a white noise machine.
Yeah.
Or like when your refrigerator all of a sudden stops and you're like, oh, I didn't hear it running until it stopped.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, I thought it was great. I thought the acting was amazing. I thought it was really cool. And I wonder if it's because of her, you know, relationship with her husband Krasinski. I thought it was really cool that Emily Blunt was obviously the star of the movie, but she didn't have to, the other characters had a ton of screen time.
Right. And I was actually thinking, because, you know, when the first one ended, I was like, why do a second one? What's the point of the second one? What are they going to do? And I really liked, one, how this movie took place immediately, like at the end of the scene of the last movie.
Right.
And didn't go like, well, 3 weeks later, and you're like, well, how did they get there?
Right.
And I also liked a lot about how they let the movie go away from the family in a way, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like, you know, otherwise it would just be more of the same. But they were like, we're able to split them up in a way that feels natural and not forced.
Right.
And it worked really, really well.
The daughter was, I noticed, was especially talented actress.
Yeah.
She was so good. And my favorite part of the whole movie is when they're, well, there's two favorite parts, both involve her, but when they're running and then the mom tells her to jump into that, you know, cave thing, and the girl's like running, and then like right before she's about to jump, she like grits her face, you know, and like, and you know, makes like the jump, and it's just so cool. And I also, she sort of made a similar face or a similar move when at the very end, when she takes her hearing aid and the microphone and like jams it on there, you know, and that, like, you could feel the energy and the passion that she was trying to stick it to this guy. It was amazing.
And one of the things I love about the monsters in the series is they're not like typical monsters that are like stalk their prey and are vindictive. They just smash anything that makes noise.
Right.
Anything.
Right.
And it just so happens that people make noise, so people get smashed.
Yeah.
And they don't eat people. They just smash, like, break anything until it stops making noises.
Yeah. Kind of like Hulk.
Yeah. And it was crazy how, you know, there's tons of these things all over the place, but they get one on that island, and just the damage that just one of these things can cause.
You know what else I noticed from a movie theater point of view is I've talked on this show a number of times about how cool it was when this movie first came out, and now again with the sequel, like how audiences are like silent during the movie.
Yeah.
I've been working most of the weekend in Ephrata, and so I'm now on my sixth screening of Quiet Place Part 2, and my current total is zero. And that total is the number of people who have left the movie to use the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
Not one single person has wandered out to check their phone or use the bathroom or stretch their legs or, you know, and every other movie, that's normal. That's just part of movie going. People get up, you know, and but this movie has, I'm currently at zero. I think that says something about the movie.
Yeah. I saw the movie with Chris Hall Productions, and afterwards he said, I had to pee, but I wasn't going to get up because you called me out on the podcast. I called Peter in the
movie. So now he gets called out either way.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go.
Heads I win, tails you lose.
Exactly. So I guess that about brings it to the end. I mean, Quiet Place 2 is fascinating. If you like the first one, definitely go see it. If it looks interesting, quick watch the first one, go see the second one.
Yeah, I would recommend rewatching. I have not seen the first one in a few years, and you can 100% enjoy this movie without seeing the first one. Absolutely. The way they did that little flashback at the beginning totally reminds you of the family and why you love them and what they lost and what their town was and all this kind of stuff. So you do not need to see the first one. But I do kind of wish I'd watched the first one, like, over the last few weeks.
Right.
But yeah, anyway, so we strongly recommend A Quiet Place Part 2.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right.
What are we doing next week, Cruella?
Cruella is next week.
Ooh.
I heard somebody, and we're not going to name names.
Right.
We're going to call him Shlem Schlepsham.
Shlem Schlepsham.
That
rhymes with my name.
It's weird.
Yeah. It's funny. I wonder if he's a cousin. Seen
it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, distant relative. So, all right, let's move on to listener notes, questions, and answers. We had a couple people write in this week, some good stuff here. First off, Connor, not Connor. The long-lost son of the podcast.
Love this guy.
Yeah, he wrote in and he said he's the one who got me realizing something was going on here with It's a Cop Thing. Right. And he said, this movie is absolutely horrible, but you have to see it. That's exactly what he said. This movie is absolutely horrible, but you have to see it. And he said, one of us has got to review it. You know, people don't know what they're getting into, but if you go in to make fun of it, you're going to have a good time.
All right, so next week we're going to do Cruella, and you're going to do a review of It's a Cop Thing.
You better believe it, buddy.
You better believe it, buddy.
Yeah.
Coming in hot. I also want to just point out that Connor, not Connor, apparently is some kind of super dedicated student.
Yeah.
Because he wrote in and said, now that school's almost over, he'll have more time to write into the podcast.
I want to know how long he spends like writing his emails.
Right. Are you studying that much at time to write an email? Or does it take you that long to craft an email that it imposes on your studies?
only the best for us. That's what
I've heard. That's it. We will accept nothing less.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So last week you talked about how you're going to add more open captions.
Yep, which has been really well received.
Yeah. Both Don DeMond and Frodo on Facebook came back and said that they were super psyched about this. Frodo mentioned that for the autistic community, it's like a super cool thing because, the flashing lights and stuff can be kind of overwhelming. Don says that sometimes he... misses like things that are mumbled and stuff.
Right.
So he likes to be able to read. He also said he does not like the cup holder closed captioned. Apparently he tried that. And
can we just on this topic go back to Quiet Place Part 2 a minute? Sure. Cillian Murphy was great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was so good. But on this topic, when him and Emily Blunt were talking and they were like whispering, I lost at least half of that dialogue. Uh-huh. I have no idea. I got the sense from watching the movie of what they were talking about, but I could not catch at least half of what Cillian Murphy was whispering to Emily Blunt.
It was sweet nothings.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. All right. Yeah. So Game Boy writes in.
Oh, Game Boy writes in. Yeah. That's Jason Greer. And he says he's got a summer barbecue game for us.
All right, this is like the old-fashioned, like, who would you invite to a dinner party?
Right.
Except it's who would you invite to your summer barbecue?
Right.
And the choices are Jack Sparrow and his crew of pirates.
Yeah, and these are all, Memorial Day movie characters.
You're right. Yeah. Han Solo and Chewbacca from 2018 Solo. Aladdin and Genie, 2019. Now, this one, who's Lee and Evelyn Abbott?
That's the parents from A Quiet Place.
Like John Krasinski and Emily Blunt?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Emily Blunt and John Krasinski. Or Cruella DeVille. You want to take a shot at this?
This is a tough one. I'd probably go Aladdin and Genie.
I definitely would go Aladdin and Genie because they would be so much fun.
Yeah.
My only hesitation with that is I want the Robin Williams Genie.
Yeah, but I mean, even the Will Smith Genie would still be fun.
Yeah, Will Smith's pretty dope.
Yeah.
I would take any one of those. I love this. I have to say, as much as I love John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, they would be like last on my list because I have friends just like them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like I can invite the Harrods over. I can invite the Gibbles over,
Yeah.
Like these guys could just come over,
Yeah.
Like I've had them over for barbecues before.
They're just normies,
Right. Right. So get me Aladdin and Genie. My second choice would be Jack Sparrow and crew because I bet you any amount of money a pirate knows how to barbecue.
But all your prized possessions would be gone.
Right. And one of them would be upstairs with Amy.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I'd have to like scale the balcony and save her and rescue her. So that'd be fun,
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for a good time.
Right. If you're looking for a good time. Now, the other thing, you haven't seen the movie yet, but Cruella DeVille is a good time, too.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking
I think
forward
so.
To it. Yeah.
Either her or, I'm blanking. Who's the Margot Robbie?
Margot Robbie, yeah.
Yeah. Who's her character?
In Cruella?
No.
Oh, Harley Quinn.
Yeah, you get Cruella DeVille and Harley Quinn. That would be a good time.
Now there's a party.
Right, now you're talking.
Now you're talking.
And some shit's definitely going to get broken if you got the two of them at your barbecue.
For sure. Well, that brings us to what are you reading, what are you doing, what are you watching, what's going on outside of the theater?
I forgot this. I wanted to... include Connor Not Connor's actual movie review.
Oh yeah, okay.
Can we do that? Can
sure.
we go back to that?
Yeah,
all right.
Let's go back.
All right. You'll edit this in so it's all like seamless.
I mean no, but yeah, sure.
I think that that's a totally uncharted territory for great comedy, is all the edits that we expect that we will never get around to doing. All right, so Connor wrote in for the first time in a long time, which prompted me to wonder to myself, what could be so important for Connor to write in right now? Well, Connor has the answer for me, and here's where it starts. Quote, four words, it's a cop thing, because we have to talk about this movie. Words cannot describe how amazingly awful this movie is. But let me tell you, every Penn Cinema podcast listener needs to watch this. I don't know which one of you two is going to review it, David, but it's going to happen. In fact, we've already got the whole Penn Cinema crew quoting the movie at this point. And let me tell you, there is truly nothing better than watching It's a Cop Thing after a long Saturday night shift. Connor, you have a real way with words, and I appreciate you sharing them with us. That's good stuff.
That is. And here's what happened to me yesterday when I went to go to see A Quiet Place 2. I saw Encyclopedia Brown, and I said, hey, I'm going to see a cop. It's a cop thing tomorrow. And he just gave me this look, like, okay, and he kept walking. But every person behind the counter started freaking out about how I need to see this movie. They were like, you gotta see it. I've only seen the last 30 minutes, but oh man, it was so funny. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it's so bad, but you're gonna laugh so hard.
So, that's awesome. I'm pumped. That's ridiculous. All right, so what am I watching and reading? I rewatched Daniel Craig's masterpiece in Layer Cake.
Yeah, you know, that's one of my all-time favorite movies.
I know. I thought of you frequently while I was watching it because I was like, no wonder he loves this movie. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
It's such a cool movie. Makes me want to dress better.
My mom thinks it's called Four Layer Cake.
No.
Because the A is a number four. And
right. Lady. Shady lady. Come on.
Come on,
shady lady. Layer Cake is amazing. My friend Doran, I was talking to him about it this morning. The Mystery Gobble just watched it. I guess they must have it on Prime. They must be like promoting it or something secretly because Scott and I both saw it within the last couple of days. I also watched Cruella, which we'll talk about next week. But I wanted to mention that because if you're looking for something to do next week, if you're listening to the show and you're not really sure, I strongly recommend Cruella. This is a great movie, and it's a great date movie. If you have a husband or a wife or a boyfriend, girlfriend, or just a good close friend, this is the kind of movie that I think men and women and all kinds of men and all kinds of women, I think it's entertaining and fun for pretty much everybody. I really, really enjoyed this movie. The soundtrack caught, well, anyway, I don't want to get too into it. I recommend it. So if you're looking for a movie, this is my recommendation. But then I also wanted to mention, I watched the much touted Friends reunion on HBO Max, and it was way better than I thought it was going to be. I usually hate watching old actors and actresses who are like all pleased with themselves and, you know, like patting each other on the back. But this was really well done. It was a great mix of like clips, but also like little gimmicks and kind of entertaining and really a little bit of candidness from this. From the cast. So the Friends reunion, if you have HBO Max, is totally worth watching.
It didn't feel forced?
Not at all.
Super fake?
I mean, there was moments where you're like, oh yeah, they're acting like a Hollywood actress. You know what I mean? Where it definitely felt forced. But it's a reunion. I thought it was really well done.
Now, riddle me this. Were you a fan of Friends when it was on TV?
I still am, but I'm giggling because I have to tell you something.
Okay.
Just between us.
Okay. This won't be shared with anyone. Don't.
No, you're gonna cut this out. You're gonna edit this.
Definitely be
yeah. Because I don't want everyone to hear this incredibly embarrassing story. Okay, cool. I don't want to embarrass myself yet again on my own show.
What do you mean for the first time? Because I've always cut them out.
Right. Yeah, right. Here's the deal. Amy and I watched the Friends pilot back in the 90s, whenever it came out. Amy and I watched that for the very first time Friends was ever aired. We watched it together. And I famously said to her afterwards, oh, I didn't like that. That show's never going to take off. That show's never going to work.
Oh, my word.
What an idiot. So first of all, obviously it became one of the most iconic sitcoms of all time. But second of all, the really embarrassing part is it was one of my favorite shows. I mean, I loved it. I never missed a week. It was must-see TV on Thursdays.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you go.
Yeah.
Look at you go. Well,
that's what I was doing in the 90s instead of reading Dune.
That's the problem.
Right.
I figured it out. All right. So I didn't quite take in as much as you did, but I did start watching Vikings.
What, preseason football?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a big sports guy.
I know. I know you love the sports ball.
Sports ball this and sports ball that.
Right. Obviously.
Yeah. I started watching Vikings, and I watched the first episode of Outlander.
Mm.
So that was pretty good, too. I will say, though, I got a debate out here for listeners. Podcast at PennSinema.com. I love new things, but I also like what I like, old things.
Right. So I've been thinking. I get it. I'm with you.
Yeah. So I've been thinking about either A, rewatching Star Trek. And when I say that, I mean Star Trek, all of Star Trek. Or rewatching Black Sails.
Ooh.
So if you're out there, podcast at PennSinema.com, what you think I should start rewatching?
You want to know a fun fact about me?
Yeah.
I've never seen Black Sails.
Oh, it's good.
But I own the entire DVD collection.
Wow.
You want to know why I own the entire collection?
Why's that?
Because Lionsgate was in this habit for like 2 years. Every time they opened a movie, they would send people who like were called film buyers, the people who booked their movies, they would send us gifts to thank you for booking their film. And what they would do is they would go and pull out old shitty stacks of DVDs that nobody wants and put them in a box and send them to us. And over the course of the years, I got all kinds of DVDs to movies I either never heard of or never certainly didn't want, you know, or anything like that. And among them was this show I never heard of called Black Sails.
Well, first off, Black Sails' major problem was that it was aired on what, Showtime or something? Because it was aired on a channel that like nobody watched.
Right.
Nobody
right.
subscribed to. But it's a great show. I was like halfway through it before I realized it's a prequel to Treasure Island. It's amazing. I loved it so much. I'll give you this. I've never watched I watched all the way up to the last episode. I never watched the last episode because I just didn't want the conclusion to happen.
Oh.
So
David,
it's so sweet. Oh my goodness!
You have a heart after all.
Yeah, it's made of coal, but it's there. So, all right, podcast@penncinema.com. What do you think I should watch?
Star Trek versus Black Sails.
Yeah, because if I'm doing Star Trek, like, dudes, it's been a while. I'm gonna dip in hard.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait to see how this goes.
All right, so next week we're watching Cruella. Look, if you want to be a part of the show, let us know what you think of Cruella or Quiet Place 2 or pretty much anything you've been watching. Best way to get in touch with us is to go ahead and email us at podcast@penncinema.com. We also have a pretty active Facebook group, so if you want to go talk there, like comment on our links and stuff, we'll definitely talk about that as well. So catch us on Facebook. But if you want to support the show, Penn, what is the number one way people can do that?
Well, the easiest way, the most, you know, laziest way is to, you know, tell a friend. Tell a friend you're excited about. Have you listened to Penn Simon podcast lately? Have you heard about this? But what I was at the Night and Day Diner this morning, and the waitress was telling me about this real situation they're having, which what people are doing is they're going to have dinner or lunch or breakfast out at a restaurant, and then when they fill out their little slip and sign the credit card slip under the total, well, first of all, they're giving the waitress a proper tip.
Right.
You always give a good, solid tip. And then underneath that, you write, you want a tip? Here's a tip. Listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's what's happening. She's like, I had no idea. I didn't know anything about this podcast. But now I'm hooked. I was late to work today because I'm catching up on the old episodes.
Whoa.
Yeah. So then, you know, she was waiting on us, and she brought the pancakes, and she was like, I'm sorry these are late, but I was back in the kitchen listening to the show. And then wow. She was like, and then I fell asleep, and the pancakes burned. And
that's a totally true, believable thing that happened.
Yeah, that happens regularly.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Bolton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care
and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.